This is IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
Today's program, Building Bridges at Schools, is presented by guest speaker Abdul Malik Mujahid.
Alhamdulillah alladhi kafa was salatu was salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad al-Mustafa. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Building bridges at schools, it's like building bridges with future. A school where we hope that people think of future, how to build their life, what is good for the society, and what are the ideals they should pursue. A time of idealism, a time of learning about reality, and moving forward with their future and while making their future the future of the world. America is not just any other place. America is at the helm of global village. Is the leader of the dominant civilization. In that way, whether it's Muslim Student Association or any Muslim individual in a campus, their role of what they can do is far greater than any other location or category of people in this country, because you are dealing with the future. And you are dealing with the future today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not describe neighbors as one word neighbor. Quran has four categories of neighbor, and one of that category is sahib bil jamb, the person next to you. It could be person in your dorm, next room, a class fellow, a person whom you see coming and going, and all of that falls in that thing. In that particular category, a person next to you. And the rights in Islam towards neighbor are extended not based on your nationality, your people, your color, but to all people. So if you are at campus, if you are at any level of a school, what you can do in relating to people is not very complex. It's just being Muslim and being friendly. And of course, a smiling Muslim. Connecting, building a little bridge of smile, allowing someone to walk through that bridge, or yourself moving forward, being friend and being Muslim will do the job. But while thinking about how else we can build bridges, there are some bridges which are not working. And one of the bridges is, I have been informed and I have noticed myself, is Islam Awareness Week. Idea was great. Except that in more of the Islam Awareness Week, we see more of the Muslim than anyone else. Brother Siraj Wahaj has mentioned that to me, Brother Dawood has mentioned that to me, and I have seen it myself. 95% Muslim are sitting and they are talking about some topic, sometime maybe a brother is speaking about place of women in Islam, or something of strange situations and all that. So talking head somehow is not working at campuses, and that unfortunately, since it's not connecting, it's not building any bridges either. If you do give importance to talking about Islam, there are ways of doing that. But one of the better way to build those bridges maybe is to live Islam, because that's how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam start connecting to people. But he was not just limited to living Islam. He was living Islam day and night. But part of living Islam is being concerned about everyone. Not in a way that you got a recipe to rescue someone, but if you have found your way to the God of the universe, Lord of the universe, our creator, that creator is not creator of Muslim. That creator is creator of all being. Connecting to him by serving others. So living Islam in that way also means connecting to people by serving. And one of the way to serve people is thinking of unique ways to connect with them. For example, instead of we inviting our people to hear a speech, what about we looking for some causes which have not been around in your campus? For example, cause of breast cancer, cause of people who in one part of Mexico are still struggling to be recognized as people, cause of some faraway place, or cause of next door about what's happening to homeless in your city. Causes are abound, but the thing is opportunity for them to convey is not available. What about in your campus, Muslims took lead or Muslim initiated discussion with the Students' Union and either invite Students' Union to organize a whole big exhibit of different causes, maybe 5-10 causes, or you take the initiative and keep the charge of organizing it yourself on behalf of MSA, inviting Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, different environmental groups and breast cancer, and different struggles which people have feel dear to their heart. And they set up all booths, and there is no harm in Muslim setting up a booth. But that booth, even instead of just directly 5 brochures on Islam, which we insist everybody getting into the hall or leaving the hall, take one with them. What about saving little environment ourselves? All that plastic culture of ours in which we drink half of a glass and leave the water and half of that empty glass of plastic on the side. What about maybe few, but purchasing some glasses as a gift to save environment and giving out to people a glass which could be washed and reused. That could be one idea. Or what about if you like to be directly on Islam, what about an exhibit? Exhibit could be an Islamic exhibit directly. Different museums offer different exhibits. Maybe some of them are willing to offer that exhibit in your library at your university or in your campus. Or it could be a focus exhibit of Islamic calligraphy, or it could be an art, or it could be a Islamic museum in Jackson, Mississippi, traveling for a spring to your campus. It could be any of that angle, but the main idea is that instead of organizing a lecture on Islam, which you must have done 20 or 30 or maybe more times, or instead of just gathering Muslims and talking about an Islam Awareness Week, figure out ways of doing things with other people in the campus. Students' Union has a budget, and Students' Union have lot of room and facilities available. What about MSA sitting together and thinking what is good for the campus? What are the causes which should be promoted on the campus and what people may like? And we engaging Students' Union in a discussion that MSA is willing to give some of its contribution or leave some of its due from the students' fees as long as Students' Union is willing to organize this thing or that thing. And even if there are peace activists on the campus, instead of we organizing a rally in favor of Palestine or in favor of Kashmir, what about Students' Union or any of the peace group organizing and we becoming a worker of supporting and promoting that particular cause?
You are listening to the Best Lecture Series. We will be back after this short break.
sponsor a program on the Islamic Broadcasting Network, IBN. Expose your organization or business name to the listeners of IBN in the Washington, D.C. metro area and nationwide and worldwide through our live internet broadcast. Support IBN Dawah efforts. Make the call and sponsor a program today. Get your name into thousands of homes nationwide and worldwide. For more information, call IBN at 703-241-9659.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life, and through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Best Lecture Series.
Another type of program which can attract a lot of people instead of keeping Muslims on this side in their own room, in their own facility, is a film festival. Most campuses have a place for film screening. But what film is coming, what is not coming? What about if you have some say in that? Lately a film, Majestic, is released, which is about the McCarthy era, but how... Just because of the association of people with other people, people suffer and people profile and hold this whole suffering and problems which go with it. Instead of talking about Muslims and civil rights, that will be an extraordinary window to see through McCarthy era how people were harassed just because of their opinion, just because of their color, just because of their origin. So that a film festival, for example, this year, every year Human Rights Watch, which is a very respected organization in New York, has a film festival. This year they have a film festival. They are willing to give out 3 to 10 films. Of course, there is some rental which could be covered through your students' union or through MSA. And if you will look on those films, most of those films deal with Muslims. Now, like all media, you may not agree with each and every film. For that, you will have to be producer, or you will be supporting Sound Vision so much that we have your own film on a particular topic. But if you have a film festival, get Human Rights Watch to provide you films, and that whole screen is taking place that not Muslims are inviting in that their little corner in the campus, but it's a campus event organized by Students' Union, and even it does not have to be Students' Union. University itself has a schedule, university itself have plans, they have different type of activities. There is a whole calendar which comes in place. Looking up the calendar, what is coming up, what are they planning, and how Muslim can participate, how our perspective should be part of that perspective. So all of these activity, what they do is, instead of leaving Muslims to handle their own issue in their corner, talking to themselves and listening to themselves, that is hopefully, instead of all of that, what about we are operating at the level of the campus? Responsibility of Muslims being Sahib Biljamr, responsibility as being neighbor, and responsibility as a good citizen and a good student and a good Muslim is not a life of isolation in the campus that you graduated without any problems, without getting into any haram. Inshallah, you will not get into anything haram, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go to the market of Ukkas outside Medina, 2.5 miles outside Medina, and that was not the only superfluous market, but he will go to 2-3 others, any place, and what they will have there, they will have alcohol there, people will be drinking, people will have all sort of possible forbidden and haram things which is taking place, which are immoral. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go. He will talk to people, he smile, say salam, and develop a relationship and convey a message what they have. Now here you are at a place where people read, place where people talk, place where people sit down and have a chat. That's where the future is. That's where the future president of the country is. That's where future secretaries of the governments are. That's where maybe next mayor is. Or maybe there is no one. There is just another citizen there. That relationship which you will develop as connecting, smiling, at the same time building bridges of understanding. Not talking that much, but also listening. What are their perspective? Because unless you are a good listener, you will not be able to develop insight on how they feel. How is their perspective? And it's not so much about Muslim being asked to condemn terrorism and all that. I would request, as a matter of fact, stop condemning terrorism. Stop feeling for people. And help other people develop feeling for the other people. And that development of feeling is something which will build bridges. So in this way, we don't have to go around saying that we got an extraordinary fine status for Muslim women in Islam. Yes, Islam has extraordinary position, far better at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam than any other time. But what is the position Muslims have? We could discuss issue critically and openly, because we cannot hide something which is confusing or which is wrong itself. So even if you resort to discussion on the topic of sensitivity, it should not be Islam says this only. There are issues, there are problems, there are issues of, for example, democracy in Muslim countries, there are issues of legitimacies, there are colonial powers perpetuating a continuous presence in the Muslim countries. If you like to address that in a critical way, that people feel it's an open forum. Even to do that, the better idea will be to get experts and have a program at a campus level and a students union level, instead of doing things just for ourselves and remaining within our group. Then the people you work with, you can work with the library. If library can put up an exhibit of some sort, I remember in my campus, they have an exhibit about Islamic bookbinding tradition. And I was surprised that that was a subject of a topic, and so much material and so many old books and manuscripts with good bindings were available. So that was one angle. But what about people who are into poetry? What about a poetry session in which different Muslims along with other people are participating in poetry? What about some storytelling? Not in a one which you do for children, but in a storytelling, in a book reading, there could be different activities to see what others have. What are they planning? What are their agendas? Do we have common points? And how we can work with them? And working with others necessarily requires that we develop appreciation of others, where they are coming from, and see what is the common point, common agenda, in which they will not feel that we are imposing our agenda. As we don't like somebody imposing their agenda on us, we don't like to do that either. But there will be something which both feel comfortable, that something is achieved for the campus. So just don't be at the campus at the Muslim for MSA or MSA for Muslim. Be at the campus thinking all these thousands of people are there. They are the one who are going to run this country in future, and you will be partner with them. So develop that relationship now, develop that friendship now, and on the basis of that relationship, we'll find many, many doors opening for ourselves. What another point could be, for example, different students' unions and different associations at campus who have different causes, they focus on it, and many times they are focused on it exactly the way Muslim Students' Union is focused. For example, Black History Month, it is highly likely that when you go in there, you will find most African American attending that. So they are talking to themselves. Similarly, it is a International Women's Day. it's highly likely that most of the activity is among women. They're talking about that and limited to that. What about as we are thinking of opening and relating, we share with them the same concept, not in the form of a speech, but maybe planning ahead of time. Black History Month in February, campus opens up in fall, and at that time you plan what are going to be the program at that occasion. What could be the themes Muslim can participate? Remember, heroes of African Americans are Muslim heroes. Remember Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, and many other people. So there is an opportunity. There is a marvelous struggle against slavery which Muslims have put up in last 300 years in North America as well as South America. There's a big history to be shared. What is the share of that in that month? Not that in an imposing manner, but developing an idea and discussing, sharing reading material, maybe they will think it is worth it. Or if nothing is there, at least going and participating and learning from a people who have gone through a struggle for civil rights, which makes America a better place. So they have done a job, which you benefit from it, and you contribute so that struggle can continue. But in conclusion, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered person next to you have rights as a neighbor, and will be asked at the day of judgment how good we were towards our next person, towards our neighbor, our class fellow. Yes, these are the questions there. Lisa and Charles, these people will be asking how we related. Were we hiding our faith? Are we living our faith? Are we talking about our faith? Are our deeds were testifying that yes, here is a person who is a truthful person? But if you have that relationship will increase when you make dua for them. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, will pray not only for his next door neighbor, but for all people. People, when he will be asked, why don't you pray against these Makkans who are harassing Prophet and torturing and killing his people? He will, at that time, will get angry. Then, no, this is not the way. He was given choice by Allah, but he will refuse, hoping that if not they, their children will accept. So adopting that attitude, my request to you is that feel for your class fellow, feel for your neighbor in the dorm, feel for the person there, and that feeling will be strengthened if you sit down after any prayer and think of them, think of her, think of him, and by words, pray to your Creator, who is their Creator as well. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
You are listening to the Best Lecture Series. We will be back after this short break.
This is Yusuf Estes speaking to you on behalf of the Islamic Broadcasting Network, a subsidiary of the Islamic Media Foundation. We would like at the Islam Today Project to endorse and encourage all of us to contribute to this wonderful project. After all, we in America need to have our voice, and IBN is the voice of American Muslims. Your contribution of a single dollar per day will help keep IBN on the air. As long as Islamic Broadcasting Network is on the air, you'll be able to hear the voice of Yusuf Estes on Islam Today. So we have a vested interest more than one way to keep IBN on the air and the voice of American Muslims. Seriously, I want to let you know that I personally have made my commitment to the $1 a day to help keep Islamic Broadcasting Network broadcasting. And I'd hope that you'll do the same thing. It's a simple dollar. Cup of coffee, a Pepsi, and it's only $1. Make the commitment now. Go to the internet, type in IBN.net, and see how you can make your contribution through the internet, or call. Pick up the telephone and call 703-241-9659. Let me repeat the number again. If you're driving, don't have a wreck, you can go to the internet and get it there. 703-241-9659. It's a dollar a day. It keeps IBN out there on the air for American Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Best Lecture Series.
Assalamu alaikum. And we are talking about schools. School, remember, where people learn and study and things like that. How to build bridges at school. We have with us Sister Hana Al-Amin, Brother Dawood Wansbieli of Canada, and Mr. Safar Zarsur of Universal School. Now, how do we build bridges at a school place? Any personal experiences any one of you would like to share?
During my years at university, we did our MSA would try to hold workshops or gatherings discussions on topics that we thought would be of interest to both Muslims and non-Muslims, and openly invite everyone on campus to those types of programs, things like that.
How was the participation of non-Muslims? Were there more Muslims, or there were a good number?
Unfortunately, that was always the case. It was there was a much larger number of Muslims in proportion to non-Muslims. I mean, alhamdulillah, it's good to have Muslims come out as well too, because you would see some Muslims that you hardly see. But at the same time, the focus was to try to introduce more people to Islam, and I don't think we were as successful with that as we would have liked to have been.
Oh. Anyone remembers any program at campuses where you see a good number of non-Muslims? I'll give you first chance. I have a recent experience of that nature, but any one of you?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is the program that Dr. Amna McLeod puts on at DePaul University, and it's like a whole week program, I think, that basically celebrates Muslim culture and brings different, it concentrates on the same Muslim arts and history, etc., and brings renowned lecturers on the topic, mostly non-Muslims. It also includes in it things that really appeal to a lot of people, entertainment, art, etc. I mean, things that basically humanize and just Islam and make it something that people would relate to in a very comfortable way. That's really what comes to mind. And I think majority of attendees in those in that event in particular are non-Muslim.
Yeah, recently an event at University of Connecticut, not recently, last Ramadan actually, and I would say 80% of the attendees were non-Muslims. And it's a big, probably the best hall at the university, the banquet for breaking of the fast, and they have exhibit all around it, big posters, people were roaming around after food and all of that. And just one lecture, which dealt with the several issues. But what they did was the whole university was involved. It was not MSA organizing. MSA initiated, but actually organized and paid for by the university itself. So university was involved in celebrating. So there were, you know, presidents and vice president and the departmental heads, and then Muslims invited a lot of other people. And I thought, although it was still a talking head type of a program, but there were a good number of other people as well.
I was going to say that's really what we need to concentrate on, is that until now our focus as Muslims, no matter what we do, it ends up being us and them. And we are going to educate them and they are going to learn type of thing. And I really think, when I think of building bridges, I don't think of that at all. I think of finding a problem on campus or in the community that is of shared interest to Muslims and non-Muslims, and basically joining in the solution, similar to what you described in the lecture, becoming thought of as a fellow citizen or a fellow human being rather than them and us. I really feel many times our attempts at trying to build bridges end up being us and them. And I really believe that's not very productive. We need to move into a new realm where we share with people, we work on common projects that are for the common good, And through that, we discover each other. And through that, we realize that we have a lot more in common than not. And that's really the most successful events that we need to start concentrating on. We really need to veer away from the events that basically sets us and them, and then one do the educating and the other is the ignorant who is coming to be educated.
I think you bring up a good point about just general interaction. I think that was one of the mistakes that we made at the particular school that I went to, is that for the most part we had very frequent events that involved just the Muslims, and then every now and then we would have these events where we would try to get non-Muslims to come out to these particular events. And I've noticed that in comparing my school to other schools, schools where I do see a larger turnout of non-Muslims at the events are schools where on a daily basis there's a greater interaction between the Muslims and the larger community at the school, of course within the boundaries of Islam. And like you said, working on projects that are for the common good and so forth, because da'wah or inviting or teaching people about Islam should be a something that's done on a daily basis and whenever possible. And I think that's maybe the mistake, is that we try to single it out as a one-day activity instead of something on a continuous basis. And so when we do these activities, they don't really even maybe know who we are, and why would they come out, you know, to come and talk with
them. Okay, let's come up with a list of other groups who may have the similar problems as we do.
I think when you look at a campus setting as well, I mean, there are usually so many different groups. And there's often, because, you know, our faith is so broad, and because, you know, God is the creator, as you mentioned in your lecture, of all of us, there's always going to be something that we can come to common terms on with people. So if you're perhaps networking with groups, you know, I know this Campus Crusade for Christ is one. A lot of different non-denominational Christian groups that are often on campus. So organizing sort of joint study sessions of coming to common terms of understanding on certain issues is a good way to start. Dealing with certain social issues like AIDS or date rape, you know, on a campus setting is an incredible, you know, problem. So those Muslim, you know, perspective on dating is different than most others. We should still be concerned about, you know, our brothers and sisters in humanity on the campus. So if we can be active in those sorts of, you know, groups that promote, you know, safety and security, you know, for women on campus, any sort of, you know, as Brother was saying, in networking with any other group on campus that shares a common good that we will all, you know, all
actually it reminds me of a campus in Chicago where Muslim Association invited police officers to talk about the security and how to defend yourself. You remember that event? No. A lot of non-Muslims showed.
Yeah, they did.
Everybody
was there. UIC, yeah. Sure. There were asked a police officer to come in and talk to the woman about general self-defense. Okay. And that was a great opportunity to network and meet with people, and there was a very large turnout of non-Muslims for that event.
Even arranging to have the MSA work in conjunction with another group, or in that case there to offer self-defense courses for women specifically, or to offer CPR courses, you know, whatever, something which people take away with them from school as an added sort of skill that they've now acquired. I know some universities, I'm sure it's common amongst most universities, but I know the universities in the area where I live, they have sort of a night watch program where there's a group of volunteers every night. There'll always be a girl and a guy, and if there's a young lady, usually young ladies who need to get home from late evening classes, they can phone these volunteers who will come down and walk them to their dorm or walk them to their residence, so that they're always being accompanied by two people, and that those two people are often always out on patrol together. So there's sort of programs like that of sort of safety and security on campus that Muslims could instigate if there isn't already programs like that at their university or college. A good point, which I think was brought up sort of before, which I thought it would be nice to elaborate on, because I know my first experience with an MSA, I wasn't a student at university, but I was actually working for a day or for a few days in a university setting, and there just happened to be on that day an Islamic art exhibition, and having some interest in the faith, but also being interested in sort of the aesthetics of you know, Islamic art, it was naturally something which drew me, and it was, you know, most of the people who were there were non-Muslim. And I think that idea of our culture, Islamic culture, being a representation of our beliefs and our belief system is really important, and an important tool that we can use Because usually within an MSA, you're going to have brothers and sisters who, for the most part, are born in North America, but who definitely link back to a previous culture. And sometimes celebrating that culture for the sake of the other students on campus, especially if it's a primarily sort of Anglo-Saxon, you know, environment, can sometimes be a nice multicultural way of introducing the different expressions of Islam aesthetically and culturally to the student population. So to set up, you know, a Bengali, you know, table of Bengali food or art, you know, or Pakistani food and art, Egyptian food and art, and then North American Muslim, you know, pizza and, you know, wrap, whatever, you know, the Muslims of North America are using to express their identities, to sort of show the faces which are presented within the whole Islamic worldwide community, can be kind of an interesting and unique way to give other students the opportunity to eat barfis, you know, or you know, try jalebi for a change. It can be a nice way of breaking
that
ice.
You mean that tube in which people put syrup?
Oh, I just, anything that's sweet and tasty, I'll go to the booth and I'll be willing to take the brochure if I can eat it. But it's food, you know, and go the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, and perhaps the way to a person's heart spiritually can be through something like food. Something as simple as cultural food can be a great way of breaking the ice and getting to know somebody.
Did he intentionally mention men's heart?
He did.
As soon as I said it, I thought that's a very sexist statement to make, and I was regretting saying it, and I was going to, you know, make a feminine equivalent, but my point is that food can
food.
And think of it, you know, that
what
was
about a food festival?
Yeah. That was the first technique Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used with his family.
Food festival?
He asked Ali to arrange a dinner and to invite, and they came. Why not? There's food. And I think, you know, when there's food, people will come. And it's a great way to just chat and get to know them, and eventually they realize, hey.
You are listening to the Best Lecture Series. We will be back after this short break.
Abdurrahman as-Sufi, known in the West as Azafi, was born in 903 AD. He was one of the most astounding astronomers of his time. He was the first to describe the nebulosity of the nebula in Andromeda in his Book of Constellations. He named the southern group of stars Al-Baqar al-Abyad, or the White Bull. He wrote a book called Kitab al-Kawakib al-Thabit al-Musawwar, which was on stellar astronomy. It is used to this day to study the proper motions and long period variables of the stars. As-Sufi stated that the color of Cirms, which is Alpha Canis Majoris, does not change, which was confirmed by later modern observations. As-Sufi died in the year 986 at 83 years old. This has been a minute of Muslim civilization from IBN.
He's lazy. She's stupid. He's a racist. That one's greedy. And there's a terrorist.
If you look at people and all you see are labels, everyone loses.
Labels hurt all of us and they're wrong.
Every one of us is unique, a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original. Our diversity is our strength. Instead of stereotyping, we can all learn from each other.
Don't let prejudice shape your view. Take the time to get to know people and see for yourself who they really are.
We are all one, one of a kind.
Stereotyping is wrong, and it hurts all of us. Stop stereotyping.
A message from your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back.
I would like to emphasize the fact that we always, the main thing we have to be aware of is again, us and them setups. I mean, try to, as many times as we can, in as many places as we can, have joint work, joint project, things that show everyone the face of Islam that we are familiar with, that many times we just can assume that everybody should know about. And I think those projects are our joint projects that can be of benefit to the community, to the university, to the school, etc., that can be done jointly. That's what we really should go for as much as we can.
Okay. So, building bridges at campus. But you have some problem with my definition of campus. You want to talk about high schools and other places where that could
be
done.
Yeah, I mean, those are also, in fact, not only they are great places to also build bridges and break the ice, but also the people in them are a lot more impressionable. And their impressions that they form, positive impressions as well as negative. But I'm assuming all interactions and attempts at building bridges will tend to be positive. Those impressions probably will be stronger and more lasting. So we should not ignore those. And although the impression would be is that, you know, high schools, you know, do not allow necessarily for as much, I don't know how to put it, presentation of ideas, and they are a lot more controlled. It really is not necessarily the case. And this is true, by the way, of public schools as well as of other private religious schools. I mean, for example, Universal School, in fact, beyond Universal School, the Council of Islamic Organizations in Chicago has a joint program with the Archdiocese where we have something called the Muslim Catholic Education Project. And through the project, Muslim teachers get to go to Catholic schools to introduce Islam to Catholic children from the point of view of a Muslim. And then Catholic teachers come to Islamic schools and introduce Catholicism from a Catholic point of view. And then the children come together and they ask questions, they talk, they share. And actually, I mean, it's interesting, talk about also moving from us and them into something joint. As a result of those things, within 2 years, for example, of us being in the program, last year, the kids decided that, oh, you go to homeless shelters and you go and rehab places for the, you know, the needy in the inner city, and we do that too. Why do you do that? Well, our Bible says that here's, you know, we need to do this and that. Well, our Quran says that. So why don't we plan the project together? And the next time they planned a project, and actually one of the local newspapers had, you know, a Muslim student and a Catholic student painting the wall, and half of each other, half of the time, you know, the two girls, you know, but it was a wonderful thing. People, at the end of the day, it's very hard for that Catholic child or that Muslim child to walk away and think of the other person as them. It is my neighbor, my friend, my, you know, who share a concern for the needy and share concern for the welfare of humanity. And I have a feeling that child, if someone comes to them and tries to sell them an idea that Muslims are evil or Muslims are bad or Muslims are different, they're going to look at them funny. They're going to say, wait a second, that's not my experience. And that's in a religious environment, in a high school environment, very controlled. But there's a lot of opportunities, and the same with high schools, with public schools. We have had students come to Universal School and live with us for the day. You know, they came to prayer and they watched us pray, and many of them, you know, joined in prayer just to kind of experience the situation. The kids ate together. Our kids returned the visit to the public school, and, you know, they got to experience the atmosphere and the different things presented. Again, it's very hard for kids after that to think of the other person as the other. And that's what we really need to aim at, is that this is one country, one humanity, and we really at the end have the same fate, and we will all of us as humans are on this ship, and we all sink together or survive together, and through these kind of building bridges we will survive together, and there's a lot of opportunities out there.
You know, one aspect of it is a lot of leaders of the world go through campuses here. I remember the people in my campus just before me, even as I was getting in or as I was coming out, at least two world leaders were there. One is even now a speaker of a major country. And, you know, so it's not only students from America, but there are literally, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people who come throughout the world and study at campuses. relating to them. So bridges may not be just built in your campus, in your neighborhood or country, but these bridges may be pretty long and wide and big. You never know whom you are meeting now is going to be doing what. So what they carry of you or memories of you, that may go a long way. Any of you have this experience of, you know, people who were in campuses and now in real life you meet them and you know, you connect in a way that is helpful?
I mean, I can't think of examples that are that extreme, but or that, you know, that wonderful,
that prominent.
But definitely, as you mentioned in your lecture, it is a place in preparation for the future. And you know, when you think back, at least when I think back to my years, let's say in grade school, you know, from kindergarten to grade 8, it's only a 9-year span. But during that 9 years that you spend with those people, they come to know you in a certain way, which now, you know, 20 years, 25 years later, you meet on the street, they will still remember those formative years. And the university setting is no different. I think if you're in that environment with people, an intense environment of learning, of growing, of learning about life, being away from home maybe for the first time in many cases, those 5 years are an isolated time which have a powerful impact on your future and how you relate to those people. And those bonds that you build during those years will always be, this is why people will still be in fraternities 25, 30 years after university, because they hold those bonds so dear. So definitely, if you're using the university setting as an opportunity to build bridges and to work together on common goals which benefit humanity, whether or not you both go on to become leaders of nations or whether you go on to be doctors or whatever, you are still going to be valuable resources to each other. And that networking that you do in university, between your MSA and between other organizations and other groups, it is going to be a lasting, the repercussions will last for your lifetime.
You are listening to the Best Lecture Series. We will be back after this short break.
These are the mothers of the world. They raise every new generation. They...
Pardon me.
Yes?
What about the nagging?
Nagging?
Take out the garbage. Do your homework.
She's helping you build good character, teaching you things like responsibility, trustworthiness, honor, compassion, integrity.
Okay, okay.
And because she loves you.
I know you're going to say that.
Kindness to mothers is a gateway to paradise. Have you shown her love today? This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation. IBN is your voice. Let us know what you think of our broadcast. Email us at feedback@ibn.net or call our feedback line at 703-241-9659, extension 6. Your opinion counts.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Best Lecture Series.
Considering such a high importance you're attaching, what do you think of those people who, few of them, but haven't you heard of the phrase, a Muslim is not supposed to make a kafir a friend? Is kafir every non-Muslim is a kafir? And are we supposed to make friends? Is it halal? I mean, you're talking so good and you seems to be a nice guy. Haven't you ever heard of this thing that you're not supposed to make a non-Muslim your friend?
I really believe that that's a misnomer.
Now, have you heard it?
I've heard that.
Have you heard it?
I've sort of.
Sort of?
Sort of.
What about you?
I've heard it from certain people.
So it's not pretty unknown thing, is it?
No, it's not. And in fact, the irony is that lately I hear it more from non-Muslims. who...
Really?
Yeah.
Who so you can't hide the secret, huh?
Who will tell me basically, you know, you're a pretty good fellow and very friendly and I trust you, but you know, I read this, explain this to me. Are you going against your religion or are you pretending or what is going on? And to me, I really believe the whole concept of a Muslim not supposed to have a non-Muslim for a friend is an erroneous one based on a wrong translation of a verse of the Quran. The words used for friendship in Arabic, in the Arabic language that I'm familiar with, and it's my native language, is sahib, sadiq, rafiq. Those are the three. Now, the word used in the verse that those people refer to is the word wali. And the word wali is practically never used to mean friend. Now, there's one usage in the Quran where it says, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. But from that phrase, the word Hamim indicates that he is more than a friend. He is a protector. He is someone who you basically rely on completely and conditionally. And that is a totally different setting. Friendship with people who are not Muslims, when it's built on respect and mutuality, is something that I believe is at the heart of Islam. And those verses, in my mind, are not being translated correctly. Unfortunately, we do not have an update of the Quran that addresses that in the proper way.
Update of the Quran, did you say that?
A translation, yes.
You mean the translation of the meaning or all of that stuff?
If I didn't say that, I read. yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, an updated translation which would account for such a mistranslation. And it's not the only one. I am aware of several mistranslations.
So that exactly is a problem of translation, which some people have turned into an ideology of anger and isolation. I mean, wali, Allah uses this term in Quran in three ways. In one way, even a Muslim cannot be wali of another Muslim because Allah wants that relationship between Allah and His creation. Al-Wali, that's why Al-Wali, the Wali, is Allah's name. So there are people, Abdul Wali. You cannot have any human being in that way. Another shade of that meaning is being a friend. But, you know, friendship have shades also. There is a friend and there is a buddy, there is a very close person, there is a person you rely absolutely on. In that sense, at that time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying to establish a peaceful sanctuary of Medina, there were people who were Muslim, but they're living under the protection of other tribes and whatnot. In that sense, Allah wanted people, you know, those who were Muslim to, why not you know, seek protection from Muslims and be together. So they handled the process of establishing an Islamic society. And there was a third meaning, actually. And that third meaning of Wali is deals with some type of tribal citizenship. In that sense, if a tribe is your Wali, means that tribe is protecting you. It's still not the word friendship, but a protection, because the basic duty of a tribe is to be with you, stand with you, protect you, and honor you. In that sense, even Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not enter Makkah after he came from Taif, because his own tribe was that by that time was headed by Abu Lahab, his enemy. Although an uncle, but sworn enemy of Islam and Prophet Muhammad. So he was looking for other people. And finally, a chief of the Nufal tribe get that waliship to the Prophet so he could come. So there are different shades of the meaning. So the problem is the translation, but also the problem is a street theology of anger, in which some people have said a Muslim cannot be a friend of non-Muslim. Has nothing to do with Quran. Actually, it's accusation of Quran. And absolutely the false behavior to preach. And but you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was friendly to everyone. He was friend of everyone. He was not only friend, he will cry for everyone. He will pray for everyone. Even in war situation, when Makkan came attacking Medina, the peace sanctuary which Prophet built, during the war, he's praying for the people, my Lord, forgive them. They simply don't know what they are doing. So that attitude is very different from the attitude of isolation, as some people, try to preach. Sorry about, I got into little speech there. But this theological confusion some people in minorities is spreading, and I'm very surprised to hear even non-Muslims have heard about it and are confused. I think we need to write to the publishers that the way they are translating Wali, they need to write Wali in there or explain the point, and these explanation need to be part of our khutbah and lecture. And thank you very much for being part of this discussion. And you will find in the text which follows the credits link to article which I have written about this issue, Wali and friendship and Muslim and who is kafir, because one can carry it away with these terminologies without knowledge. And the last thing we want at campuses and schools where we want to build bridges, that bridges should be built with knowledge, not with anger, and certainly not with the theology of anger. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.